It is time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. Food. Yes, we talk about food. It's one of my favorite times of the week. Good morning, Arthur.
I hope you're thinking about food. Well, anyway, I can't. The torrent just started here. It's now torrential rain. I've been hearing the rumblings of thunder all morning. It's early morning yet. Anyway, it is the weather that leads me to say, I'll drink to that. It's the kind of weather I do not want to cook, and some days I don't even want to eat, which is a good thing, I guess. Intermittent fasting is a thing now. But I have been drinking, and I must tell you that I have a new cocktail for this summer. A couple weeks ago, I told you about Vouvray. It's now my white wine of the summer, because even though it's off dry, it has a tiny bit of sweetness. Vouvray, it's from the Chenin Blanc grape, which provides a lot of fruity flavors. And the one that I was drinking, B&G, actually had a little sort of citrusy pineapple edge to it, which I thought was great for summer. It's great just sipping on its own wine. But I have been drinking, more seriously, Tom Collins. Do we remember Tom Collins?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know whatever happened to Tom Collins, because it's a terrific drink. But when I was a kid, for sure, in my parents' crowd, that was a big drink, Tom Collins. I even remember my mother buying Tom Collins mix, which was more or less lemon soda. And I guess they still sell Tom Collins mix. I haven't looked for it because it's nothing to do. What goes into a Tom Collins is lemon, sugar in one form or another, gin, and sparkling water, seltzer, club soda, whatever you want to call it. Club soda, of course, has a little salt in it. Tastes a little bit different than the sparkling water I make at home, but in my soda stream thing, which I like a lot. So what I did was I made up my own proportions. This all was inspired, I have to say, by something ridiculous. I bought glasses, drinking glasses, online, and I guess I wasn't really being careful about the dimensions of these glasses. They turned out to be very annoying glasses because they don't fit easily in the dishwasher, but they are technically Tom Collins glasses. So when I discovered that I'd bought these Tom Collins glasses, I thought, I should make a Tom Collins. So my Tom Collins has basically the juice of a whole lemon, which turns out to be 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, or could be as much as, it's an ounce of lemon juice. And I do use my little bar measure, which has a small cup on one side is 1 ounce, and the other side is the large amount, which is 1.5 ounces, which is considered a jigger. So I use a 1 ounce of lemon juice and a scant 1 ounce of simple syrup. I'll get to that in a second. And then I use 2 jiggers, 3 ounces. This is a nice, it's a big drink. 3 ounces of gin. And you only need one of these, by the way, in an afternoon. And then pour that over, or, put it in a glass, fill the glass halfway with ice, and then fill the glass with sparkling water and stir. That is a Tom Collins. I have to say, first-rate Tom Collins. If you like it a little sweeter, you could add a little bit more simple syrup. If you like it a little tartar, you could add a little bit more lemon juice. You can play with it. But that's basically it. Simple syrup. Now, simple syrup is syrup made with, in this case, equal parts sugar and water. So a cup of sugar, a cup of water, you put them in a little saucepan, you bring it to a boil, you stir. When the water is crystal clear, all the sugar has dissolved into the water. Let it cool, and there you are, simple syrup. I say let it cool only because you're going to be putting it in an iced drink, so you don't want hot syrup in your iced drink. So do get it to room temperature. You don't have to refrigerate it. It does not last forever, by the way, so don't make too much. I've made the mistake of, I'll make simple syrup and we'll have it whenever I need it. Well, you know, it does get moldy after a while. It does grow things. So even though I use filtered water. Anyway, that is simple syrup. So a shy ounce, an ounce of lemon juice, and 3 ounces of gin in this very tall glass with seltzer. It's very refreshing. And you can garnish it, if you like, with a piece of lemon, I guess. Also, you could use lime instead of lemon or a combination. I don't love lime. And I'm here to say, limes don't provide much juice.
Don't, you're right.
Yeah, you know, and they've gotten expensive on top of everything. So I always wondered why in Italy, in the south of Italy especially, where they grow every which way citrus fruit, I lived in a citrus orchard in Salerno, my friend Sylvia's orchard. I mean, when I say I lived in it, her house was plopped in the middle of it. And in that orchard was every known citrus fruit, at least known to me, including ugly fruit and grapefruit. And mandarins and oranges and blood orange, everything, no limes. And in fact, even in Sicily, where they grow a huge amount of citrus, I've never seen limes. Now I know why Italians don't love limes, because it's a very south. Maybe in Mexico they provide more juice, but I buy limes every once in a while for whatever reason. Anyway, that's a Tom Collins. So I just cannot even think of food this morning. It's so humid and hot here. But, in fact, we'll have to eat at some point. And I've been making cold things. I have to laugh that my friend Judy Witz Francini, if anybody is going to Tuscany this year, I would say look up Judy Witz Francini. Judy is American, but she's been living in Italy for about 40 years. She's married to an Italian, Andrea, and they live outside Siena in a small town on the countryside. And she does tours of Florence, Florence markets. She does cooking classes. I don't know if she has any Sicilian plans, but she also gives tours in Sicily. You can look her up. She's terrific. But during this heat wave, it's just, if it's unbearable here, think of what it is in the south of Europe, where it's over 100 degrees every day. So we have to be thankful that we're only in, well, I don't know what it's going to be in Sharon today, but around here it's going to get into 90s, and the humidity is unbearable already. Anyway, Judy... Andrea does not believe in air conditioning, as many Italians do not. I've heard Italians say that global warming is due to Americans' love of air conditioning and clothes dryers, which is why there are almost no clothes dryers in Italy. Everybody's got a washing machine, but nobody... I just say Italians still hang their clothes out to dry, on a line, on whatever. Andrea does not believe in air conditioning. So at the beginning of the heat wave, Judy was posting ways to keep cool when you have an Italian husband that doesn't believe in air conditioning. And now she's down to the no-cook food that I make in the house with no air conditioning. And in Tuscany, by the way, you know, that's the home of panzanella, which is a wonderful summer thing, of bread salad. You have to get the right bread. Unfortunately, that's not so easy to do in U.S., but where Judy lives, it's the regular bread. And you let it dry out, and you cut it into chunks, and you toss it with tomatoes and onion and oil and vinegar, and it's a wonderful bread salad that you can make without cooking. And then she makes carpaccio, which I think, you know, the derivation of carpaccio is very cloudy. But I trace it to Venice and to Harry's Bar, which made carpaccio famous, at least. And it's raw meat. You're eating very, very thinly sliced, raw, tender meat. When I first had it in Italy 45, 50 years ago, it was being made with vitellone, which is not the red beef that we have, but let's say year-old meat, which is still not very, very red. And it's tender and mild-tasting. And my first time, it was in Tuscany, actually, was on a plate with oil, the household's own olive oil, Tuscan olive oil, lemon, and sliced raw porcini. It was sensational. But the original carpaccio is made with a mustard mayonnaise. You can look this up online. I'm sure there are a zillion recipes for Harry's Bar carpaccio. And it was named after a Venetian painter who had the Ciprianis were very good at marketing. So it was an art exhibit in Venice. They latched on to it. The Bellini is the result of another art exhibit. So in the case of carpaccio, it was this vivid yellow mayonnaise, mustard mayonnaise. But now I've discovered it's not that much mustard, but something else. Anyway, that's online. And you squiggle it over the raw meat. But you can do anything. I'm not sure what Judy put on hers. I have to go back and look. But she posted that on Facebook, that carpaccio, and panzanella, which is a local salad by her. I have been making, because Bob is become avocado crazy, I've been making salads of tomato and avocado. Not quite guacamole, because I chunk up the tomatoes and I chunk up the avocado. I don't sort of mash it up, but if I mashed it up, and I cut the tomato smaller, it would be guacamole. Of course, I would need to add a hot pepper to that, at least one. So I don't know. You know, I've been making stracchetti, which doesn't require a lot of heat, but it wasn't 90 degrees and unbelievably humid until today. We'll see. And I think I missed this by a day or two, but I may have to celebrate National Ice Cream Day.
Yes, you did miss it by a day or two. But
when was National? It wasn't yesterday or the day before.
I think it was the day before.
The day before. Well, nobody will report me that I'm going to celebrate today, right?
No.
I because the one thing that I really have been dying to do. I know this sounds crazy, but I like making custard and semifreddo, which is ice cream that you make at home. It's not churned ice cream, as all other real ice cream is. It's just whipped cream folded into a custard and then frozen. And I used to make this quite a lot. It was like my go-to dessert if I had company because, of course, it's frozen dessert. You can make it a day ahead. You should make it a day ahead, keep it in the freezer. And everybody is really impressed that you made this very simple dessert. The only cooking involved is making the custard itself. And it's on top of the stove, and it's on low heat. So it's not that bad. Should I give you a recipe for the custard?
Absolutely.
I have one here. I have to look it up. I remember it taking 8 eggs, or is it 8 egg yolks? Let me see. We want to be very careful here. I'm looking this up on my computer as we speak. Here we go. Yeah, 8 egg yolks. Oh, I remember now. So the egg whites, you could use in your semifreddo, but as meringue. So if you feel like turning an oven on, which I do not, save the egg whites to make meringue, or just save the egg whites and do something else that doesn't require putting the oven on. So for 8 egg yolks, I would say with a wire whisk, mix in 3/4 cup plus 2 tablespoons. By the way, I translated this recipe from my friend Enrica's recipe. Enrica lives in Salerno. And because it's not precisely, I didn't want to give this recipe in metric. It's not a real precise amount other than the way I did it, which was 3/4 cup plus 2 tablespoons of whole milk, 3/4 cup plus 2 tablespoons of granulated sugar, and I would say a big pinch of salt. And you combine all those in a small saucepan and whisk them together, and then place this over medium-low heat. Now, technically, you probably should do this in a double boiler. But I'm daring, and I also have a small pot that is so heavy, I have no problem doing it directly on the heat. So you keep stirring, you could, with a wooden spoon. I would suggest you use a wooden spoon over medium-low heat. And this is going to take a while before the eggs finally come together and make a sauce. So you don't want to use too much heat because then the eggs will curdle. Now, I always say when I was teaching this, the way to know that you have maximum thickness after starting on a good 8 to 10 minutes over this medium-low heat, is that you will see there's a foamy surface that is a lighter yellow than what's underneath. When that foamy surface disappears and you have a uniformly yellow custard, you're done. Remove it from the heat. Don't even let it sit on the hot burner. It will also coat the back of your wooden spoon. Now, that as soon as the custard has thickened, keep stirring, by the way, to cool it down as quickly as possible. But one of the things you will stir in is 1.5 teaspoons of vanilla extract, and that's it. Pass this custard through a fine sieve just to make sure you don't have any little strands of egg yolk. And now you're going to beat, in another bowl, you're going to beat a whole pint, that's 2 cups, of cream, heavy cream, until whipped into soft peaks. Fold half of that into the custard base. It's cooled now. And then fold the rest of the whipped cream into the custard base. And if you were going to make a certain kind of semifreddo, and you made meringues, you could break them into the to give a little crunch to the semifreddo. You could break them in, or I prefer, in fact, amaretti cookies. If you have any amaretti cookies, you can break them in. Or if you have any kind of peanut brittle or any kind of nut brittle, you can break that into little pieces and put that in the semifreddo. All of this gets poured into a loaf pan, a 5-by-9-inch loaf pan, which you have lined with plastic wrap, so that in the end you can just lift out this block of semifreddo. You make sure that the wrap is overlapping the edge of the pan on all sides. You get a lot of overhang. Pack the semifreddo custard with whipped cream folded in into the pan. And freeze it at least 6 hours, but preferably overnight. Of course, I like to leave enough plastic wrap so that I can actually cover the top of the semifreddo with the plastic, because it will get icy if you don't. If you just let it freeze without being covered somehow, the surface won't be as creamy as you want it to be. That's it. This is a lot of ice cream, by the way. I would say you've got at least 8 servings here. Of course, maybe 10. Depends on how much you want to eat of this. But and you slice it. And if you want a hot fudge sauce, I don't know. You could make this. There's a thing going around, which I totally approve of, called affogato. I've known about affogato since, I don't know, the early 1970s, because it's a very common thing in Italy to make affogato. Affogato means drowned or suffocated or... smothered, I think is a nice word. And I learned about affogato from Marcella Hazan, even before her first cookbook came out, which had an affogato in it. Pour a jigger of scotch over vanilla ice cream. Now, that's drowned ice cream. You can do the same with your semifreddo. You can pour over, well... If you go into a cafe in Italy and you ask for affogato, chances are they're going to give you gelato with a you know, a really tiny amount of espresso poured over it. In Marcella's book, in the first book, she had you grinding up coffee beans very, very fine to make like a, you know, a powder of coffee beans. And you sprinkle a little of this coffee powder over your ice cream, and then you pour on a jigger of scotch, and I think I'll drink to that. And by the way, I mean, it doesn't have to be scotch. Bourbon works very well, too. And I'm into rye whiskey myself, which is nice and spicy, and that might really be good on chocolate ice cream, I'm thinking, if you're a chocolate person.
My dad used to give us, used to drive my grandmother crazy when we were kids, mint julep on vanilla ice cream.
Oh, well, that sounds good.
Oh, it was great.
If you like mint.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It
oh,
was...
yeah, I can see that. I'm not going to make hot fudge sauce today, but I was thinking about hot fudge sauce today. And I looked it up online. There's a lot of hot fudge sauce recipes. But then I had this thought that I used to make hot fudge sauce. It must be in one of my cookbooks. By the way, I find this quite frequently lately that I'm thinking about saying, oh, you know, I think I published that a recipe for that years ago. And sure enough, in my very first cookbook, Cooking in a Small Kitchen, there is a recipe for hot fudge sauce. And this really should have been in my next book, which was called What to Cook When You Think There's Nothing in the House to Eat, because what this hot fudge sauce depends on is something that I do, in fact, still to this day keep in my pantry, even though I hardly ever use it, a large can of evaporated milk. I always have a can of evaporated milk here for emergencies. And the can I have now is probably a few years old. It should still be good, but it makes a very good fudge sauce. You take a cup of a can of the evaporated milk. It's 1 2/3 cups is what it amounts to. And this is a dessert, remember. 2 cups of sugar and the chocolate. Now, my recipe in Cooking in a Small Kitchen calls for 3 ounces of unsweetened chocolate. And I know I was using the squares of Baker's chocolate. But if you want to upgrade the chocolate flavor here, these days, remember this book was written 40-some-odd years ago. It was recently republished, but still. I would use something better than maybe Baker's chocolate. But anyway, I like Baker's chocolate. And you know what? We're also accustomed to that flavor. So if you make it with something else, somebody's going to say, oh, this doesn't taste right. Anyway, but this is a little jazzy sauce anyway. So 3 ounces of unsweetened chocolate. And then once it comes to a boil, over medium heat, so do it slowly. Don't try to make a fast boil. You want to stir with your wooden spoon at least for 6 or 7 minutes, boiling and stirring. And it will get very dark and slightly thick. Remove it from the heat and add your other flavorings, which should include at least a teaspoon of vanilla. And then, to jazz it up, 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon and 1/8 teaspoon of nutmeg. And that's it. Just keep beating it. Maybe another minute or so. Makes a lot of fudge sauce. And, of course, you can put it in a jar in the refrigerator and then reheat it. I would reheat it by putting the jar into a water bath. All right, so what am I going to eat today? Maybe nothing.
Now you got to eat something.
I don't know. Maybe you don't. I have no appetite. They say it's only 76 degrees, but it must be 99% humidity, so there's that. And I don't eat breakfast cereal these days, but maybe I will today because it's cold. Cereal.
Nothing more unhealthy for you than breakfast cereal.
Nothing more unhealthy?
Yeah, it's just... It's,
really?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because by the time you add the milk into it, it turns out to basically be sugar. Just so much
okay,
sugar.
Well, I rarely... I'm not even drinking much milk. I have milk in my first coffee, and then I drink black. I don't usually have much milk in the morning, and I hardly ever have cereal. So the other choice is yogurt and blueberries.
How's that? There you go. You know, the problem with America is that you have orange juice and cereal in the morning, okay?
Well, I don't.
But your carbohydrates automatically turn that into sugar, so it's like you're having...
No. Sorry, orange juice is sugar.
Yeah, it's just... And I love fresh. I don't eat processed orange. I will make my own orange juice. I get oranges when in the summertime, and I make my own orange juice. It's great because two oranges make a 3 ounce cup, and that's good for me for the day.
That's good for you. Period.
Yeah.
But I don't drink orange. I'm diabetic, so I don't drink any juice, truthfully. And I do accept that lemon juice, and I do have Tom Collins, which has sugar in it. But, you know, it ends up potatoes are worse than sugar. I read an article about this the other day. But I don't eat potatoes either these days, or rice. But I do eat pasta.
You're back on the pasta train. That's good.
No, once or twice a week only. Okay. And yesterday we had pasta for lunch, and I made 3 ounces each. And you know what? It was too much. The packages of pasta say a serving is 2 ounces, and most people would laugh at that. Most Americans would laugh at that. But truthfully, yesterday I realized with this rich meat sauce that I'd made, 2 ounces would have been fine. And I do only make 2 ounces per person when I'm making pasta with beans or lentils, but they're high carbohydrate as well.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I can actually keep my carbs under 50 a day, and all of them will come from fruit and vegetables.
You know, I want to go back to something you said earlier on. I'm so glad you mentioned about limes because they're the most frustrating fruit in the world.
Absolutely.
When I make my guacamole, whenever to get any juice out of those suckers.
Well, I have a Mexican. My housekeeper, who's Mexican, laughs when I use this. But I have a real low-down Mexican lime press, which supposedly gets as much juice out of a lime as you can get. And I'm always complaining about it. And she says, well, you know, she's used to it, you see. And also, in her neighborhood, she pays half the price for the lime. Anyway, I use lemon juice instead. I go through a lot of lemons because I drink lemonade too. That is one way I drink citrus. I drink lemon water is really what it is.
The only way I can get a lot of juice out of a lime is to cut the top third off,
yeah.
and then go over a cup and put a fork in there and twist and twist and twist and that does get you some juice. But other than that. They're horrible little buggers.
Well, you know that I have the kind, I don't even know how you describe it. They make these now enameled and fancy, but mine is actually from Mexico and it's of a white metal of no known origin. And it has one side has holes in it, and the other side is convex and squeezes the fruit.
That's like my orange squeezer. Yeah, that's like my orange squeezer.
All right, so there you go. So mine is, you know, the real deal from Mexico, and it still doesn't work.
I'll drink
to that.
Yeah, there you go. Got a perfect ending.
Yeah, can you have a Tom Collins for breakfast without being called an alcoholic?
Well, as my father used to say, when he wanted to drink early in the morning. He would go with a friend to a country club, and he said, there you're not an alcoholic, you're a golfer.
Well, you know I belong to a private club now, right?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, but our bartender doesn't show up until 6.
All right.
Yeah, all right, take care. Everybody have a cool week.
All right, Arthur, we'll speak to you next week.
Next week.
All right. Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.